All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You. This is Neo Gentrix. Now, in the last two episodes, we cover what is cancer, what starts it, what causes it, how it spreads, the different types that exist. For today's episode, however, we're going to go a little bit step further, okay? I mentioned at the end of the last episode how much of a big deal all of them are, and that we shouldn't just focus on, you know, just the one. Obviously, I could cover what breast cancer is and why they, you know, adorn it so much, why it has a whole month dedicated to it and everyone wears pink. But rather than do that, since there's such a lot of topics available for just that one cancer, and, you know, they have a whole month dedicated to it, I won't go too much detail into it whatsoever. However, what I will do is I will go ahead and I will cover the other types of cancers. Now, before I go forward with this episode, keep in mind that this one is only for the sake of diagnosis and the staging processes for cancer, all right? So here's what I'm going to cover in today's episode. The symptoms, the diagnosis, the staging, prognosis, and a couple of questions that people have asked about their diagnosis, as well as some research information if I can find any. All right. So with that, let's get started, shall we? All right, everybody. Let's get started. First things first. Symptoms of cancer. Alright, so this I'm getting directly from the site because I want to make sure I get these as accurate as possible, because I don't want anyone misdiagnosing themselves saying that they have it when they probably don't. First things first, cancer can cause many different symptoms, and here is a few. Okay, skin changes. Such as, like I mentioned in the last episode, I do believe it was, a new mole or a change in an existing mole. Or, in some people's cases, a sore that doesn't heal. Okay? Another one would be breast changes. Well, typically in women, but men have it too. Changes in size or shape of the breast or the nipples. Change in texture of the breast skin. Okay. While yes, it can happen that your skin could break out and the texture can change at random, no one's texture on their skin, especially around the breast area, especially for women who wear bras, should not change as drastically as this. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, a thickening or lump on or under the skin, hoarseness or cough that doesn't ever go away, changes in bowel habits, difficult or painful urination. Now keep that one in mind. It could just be a urinary tract issue instead of cancerous cells. So make sure you're drinking enough water. All right. That's what I'm going to say for that one. Next one, problem with eating, such as discomfort after you ate or hard time swallowing or possible changes in your appetite. There's that. The other one is weight gain or loss with absolutely no reason behind it. Now, this is the biggest trigger for a lot of people, because most people don't just randomly gain or lose weight. There's usually a cause. Okay. Abdominal pain may be a result. Unexplained night sweats. Like you wake up completely drenched in like your own sweat or something. Unusual bleeding or discharge, including blood in your urine. For women, vaginal bleeding. Or blood in your stool. I'm going to keep that as clean as possible. Or feeling weak or very tired continuously. Okay? Now, most often than not, these symptoms are not due to cancer. Keep that in mind. A lot of these are due to other things. They may also be caused by benign tumors or other problems with your body completely, whether it be pancreatitis or such. Now, if you have symptoms that last for a couple of weeks, it's important to see a doctor so that the problems can be diagnosed and treated as early as possible. Keep that in mind. Usually, early cancer does not cause pain. All right? So if you have symptoms, do not wait to feel pain before go seeing a doctor. For some reason, that's funny to me. Let me explain. The reason why I'm laughing about that is because for some strange reason in people's minds, they, when you have something, instead of wondering or having it checked out just to be on the safe side, people wait until it gets to the absolute worst. Then they go to the doctor, ask them for something to help them or heal them or magically make them better. But then they get to the doctor, the doctor's like, well, I can't do anything about it. It's too far gone. But here's what we can do to either suppress it or maybe we can try to save you. But truth is, at that point, for some people, you're beyond the point of redemption. You want to check, get yourself checked out anyway, regardless of what it is. Now, if you know that something you have is caused by another possible thing, have it checked anyway, just to be on the safe side to know you don't have it. It doesn't hurt to check. It really doesn't. It may cost you a few dollars, but it's better to spend a few dollars now and know that you're free than to end up having to spend a couple grand later to keep yourself alive. Anyway, to learn more about the symptoms and specific cancers related to them, again, go ahead and check out your nearest doctor, facility, healthcare provider, what have you, or go to the cancer.gov website and check out the listings that they have under the specific cancer type you have or you think you may or may not have for more information. Alright, now that I got through the symptoms, let's go ahead and talk about the diagnosis. How is cancer diagnosed? Well, if you have a symptom or your screening test results suggest cancer, the doctor must find out whether it is due to cancer or some other cause. So keep that in mind. Just because it says you may have it, doesn't mean you have it. The doctor may ask about your personal and family medical history, do a physical exam. He may order lab tests, scans, or other tests or procedures or stuff that they may have to do. Before I go any further, keep in mind, these exams and tests aren't meant to hurt you. Okay, they just want to make sure that it's as accurate as possible. Now, with the lab tests, high or low levels of certain substances in your body can be a sign of cancer. So lab tests of urine, blood, and other bodily fluids that I will not name that measure these substances can help doctors make a diagnosis. However, abnormal lab results are not a sure sign of cancer, so they are important tools. Keep that in mind, but doctors can't rely on them alone to diagnose the cancer, okay? They're not 100%. That, and keep in mind that the machines are made by man, alright? Anyway, imaging procedures create pictures of areas inside your body that help the doctor see whether a tumor is present, and they can be made in several different ways. Now, the most common low-res format they can do is a CT scan. Basically, it's an x-ray machine linked to a computer taking a series of detailed pictures of your organs. You may receive a dye or other contrast material to highlight areas inside the body. This dye is non-lethal, by the way, and it won't damage or hurt your body. Contrast materials help make these pictures easier to read. Okay. The next one is a nuclear scan. For this scan, you receive an injection of a small amount of radioactive material, which is sometimes called a tracer. It flows through your bloodstream and collects in certain bones or organs. A machine called a scanner detects and measures the radioactivity. The scanner creates pictures of bones and organs on a computer screen or on a film. Your body gets rid of the radioactive substances rather quickly, though, so you don't have to worry about that. And this type of scan may also be called a radionuclide scan as well, if you ever hear that. Or anything close to that, because I think I butchered the word. Another one is an ultrasound. While typically used for childbirth, this device also sends out waves that people cannot hear. These waves bounce off tissues inside your body like an echo, and a computer uses these echoes to create a picture of the areas inside your body. And it's known as a sonogram. Most women are familiar with this type of device, as they usually use it typically when they're close to their final trimester or during childbirth, in the months in which the child is growing. Next is one that I don't particularly like too much, an MRI. It's a strong magnet linked to a computer used to make detailed pictures of areas in your body. Now, your doctor can view these pictures on a monitor and print them on film. I'm not a fan of the MRI because, for some reason, when I have them, and I've had to have them because of the car wreck that I was in when I was younger, I always end up leaving the room completely dizzy and off balance. Like, if you've ever had vertigo, you understand. Oh, and my memory is usually kind of dicey at that point for a while. Next is a PET scan, or PET scan. For this one, you receive an injection of a tracer, similar to the first one, but not the same thing. And then a machine makes a 3D picture that shows where the tracer collects in your body. Now, these scans show how organs and tissues are working, okay? And then the last one is the low dose of radiation X-ray scans that create pictures of the inside of your body. Now, those are pretty common. The other method of getting a lab test other than the image procedures is a biopsy. Now, in most cases, doctors need to do a biopsy to make a diagnosis of cancer. Now, a biopsy is a procedure in which the doctor removes a sample of tissue, what they call a pathologist, then looks at several tissues under a microscope to see if it's cancerous or not. Now, the sample may be removed in several different ways. First of which is with a needle. The doctor uses a needle to withdraw tissue or fluid. Next is with an endoscope. The doctor looks at an area inside the body using a thin, lighted tube called an endoscope. The scope is inserted through a natural opening. Such as the mouth, and then the doctor uses a special tool to remove tissue or cells from through the tube. I don't know why, but that one sounds uncomfortable. The last one is with surgery. Surgery may be excisional or incisional. And in an excisional biopsy, the surgeon removes the entire tumor. Often some of the normal tissues around the tumor is also removed. I had one of those. And the other one is an incisional biopsy. The surgeon removes just part of the tumor. Now, in my case, regarding the tumor I had in my brain, it was an excisional biopsis. Now, thank God they were able to remove all of it, and I'm happy none of it was active, to my knowledge anyway. But those are the two different types of biopsy that they can do with surgery. Alright, so next after the diagnosis is what they call cancer staging. Stage refers to the extent of your cancer, such as how large the tumor is and if it has spread. Knowing the stage of your cancer helps a doctor a lot, okay? Understand how serious your cancer is and the chances of survival, if you have any. Most people do. Plan the best treatment for you and identify clinical trials that may be treatment options that you can actually have. A cancer is always referred to by the stage it is given at the diagnosis. Even if it gets worse or spreads, new information about how a cancer has changed over time gets added onto the original stage, so the stage doesn't change, even though the cancer might. How that stage is determined, though, to learn the stage of your disease, your doctor may order x-rays, lab tests, or other procedures to basically determine that. And, well, like I said before, I covered that in diagnosis. Next is the systems that describe stage, okay? There are many staging systems. There are some, such as the TNM staging system, are used for many types of cancers. Others are specific to a particular type of cancer. Most staging systems include information about where the tumor is located in your body, the cell type, such as adenocarcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma, the size of the tumor is another one. whether the cancer has spread to nearby lymph nodes or whether the cancer has spread to a different part of the body. Tumor grade, which refers to how abnormal the cancer cells look and how likely the tumor is to grow and spread, is another issue. Now, the TNM staging system is most widely used worldwide, or rather the most widely used cancer staging system anyway. Most hospitals and medical centers use the TNM system in the first place as their main method for cancer reporting. You are likely to see a cancer described by this staging system in your pathology report, unless you have a cancer for which a different staging system has to be used. Examples of cancers with different staging systems include brain and spinal cord tumors or blood cancers, obviously. They can't use the same system for that. In the TNM system, first off, the T refers to the size and extent of the main tumor. The main tumor is usually called the primary tumor. The N refers to the number of nearby lymph nodes that have cancer. And then the M refers to whether the cancer has metastasis. This means that the cancer has spread from the primary tumor to another part of the body, but it's still the same tumor, as I discussed in one of the previous episodes. When your cancer is described by the TNM system, there will be numbers after each letter to give more detail about the cancer. For example, T1N0MX or T3N1MO. I'm sorry, M0. The following explanation I'm about to give kind of tells you what the letters and numbers mean. Now, for primary tumor, TX means the main tumor cannot be measured. That's something that you definitely don't want to see unless it's really, really small. T0 means the main tumor cannot be found. If it is T1 through T4, refers to the size and the extent of the main tumor. The higher the number after the T, the larger the tumor or the more it has grown into nearby tissues. T's may be further divided to provide more details, such as T3A and T3B. Okay? Next is the lymph nodes, or the N. Also, with the same type of system, NX means cancer is nearby lymph nodes cannot be measured. N0 means there is no cancer nearby lymph nodes. N1 to N3 refer to the number and location of the lymph nodes that contain cancer. The higher the number after the N, the more lymph nodes that contain cancer. That's something you definitely don't want to see at all. Again, next is the M, the distant metastasis. MX, metastasis can't be measured. M0, cancer has not spread to other parts of the body. M1, cancer has spread to other parts of the body. Other ways to describe the stages and what they mean would be the... let me just go through it like this. Stage 0... What it means is abnormal cells are present but have not spread to nearby tissue, also called carcinoma in situ or CIS. Cancer is CIS is not cancer, but it may become cancer. Stage 1 through 3, cancer is present, and the higher the number, the larger the cancer tumor and more it has spread to nearby tissues. Stage 4, cancer has spread to distant parts of the body. Now, another staging system that is used for types of cancer growth that the different types of cancer growths that have spread throughout the body, or rather its main five categories. In this staging system, it's more often to use cancer registries than by doctors. So, if you may still hear your doctor or nurse describe your cancer in one of the following ways, despite the staging system we mentioned before. In situ means abnormal cells are present but have not spread to nearby tissues. If they say it's localized, the cancer is limited to the place where it started and no sign that it has been spread. If they say it's regional, it has spread to the nearby lymph nodes, tissues, or organs. If they say it's distant, it has spread to distant parts of your body. If they say unknown, there's not enough information to figure out the stage, which means they would have to wait and see. Okay? So, from what I've basically told you so far, there's two different ways that they could stage your tumors if you have it. The TNM system or with the main five categories. Again, with the TNM system, each letter will be followed by a number telling you whether or not it has spread or if it's still localized. higher the number after, the more it has spread. In the same sense with the five different wordings, it either hasn't spread at all in situ, or it's gotten to the point where it's distant either in the body, it's regionalized, or it's localized, or it's just completely unknown at that time. All right, everybody. Now, I did say that I was going to cover more for diagnosis and staging, but seeing how there's a lot of information here that a lot of people need to know, I'm going to break this episode up into two parts. This is the end of part one right here. In the next part, we're going to cover the prognosis. We'll cover the questions to ask about your diagnosis and, so, you know, research that was found. But I'm also going to cover two other things. I'm going to cover your pathology reports, seeing how I just mentioned them recently in the staging system. I'm also going to cover the tumor grade as well as what that is and how they tell what that is as best as I can, you know, because, you know, you can't really show any charts on a podcast if it's all vocals. But I'm going to go ahead and cover a little bit of that as well in the second part. So please look forward to the second half of this episode coming later on, either in the day or tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your day. Again, this is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You. I'm your host, Neo Gentrix, and if you like what you're hearing or you have any suggestions for the future, please check out my podcast on anchor.fm/Neo Gentrix. Sorry, I had to hiccup there. And also on my social medias on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so on and so forth. And you're going to be searching for Neo Gentrix, NeoGentrix. This is your host. Have a great rest of your day. I wish you guys the best. God bless.